This is Retirement Lifestyle Advocates Radio. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Glad you're listening in today. Hey, joining me on segments two and three of today's program is the founder of the Financial Survival Network, Mr. Kerry Lutz. I'll get Kerry's take on the current economy, where markets go from here. We're going to talk a little residential real estate. We're going to talk a little cryptocurrency. I know you're going to appreciate my conversation with Kerry. That's coming up in segments two and three of today's program. If you have not yet requested the April special report, there's still time to do that. The April special report is all about trusts and estate planning. You can just go to requestyourreport.com. I'll be glad to send you a copy of the report, along with a copy of my best-selling revenue sourcing book, as well as the new retirement rules book. You'll get a complete box of information along with the April special report. If you don't have an estate plan or you have an outdated estate plan, the information in this report, I think you'll find very useful. Go to requestyourreport.com, and I'll be glad to send you all that absolutely free. Well, here we are in the fourth month of 2024. Mid-April, tax day was this past week. That's a big story. But the number one economic story as we now move into the middle part of 2024 still has to be inflation. The headline inflation rate, as I'll talk about with Kerry in the next segment, that's reported as a consumer price index. The headline inflation rate was up 3.8% year over year in March when the inflation numbers were released. And this was about a week and a half ago or so. This is a bigger number than the consensus of analysts projected. Of course, it didn't really surprise me, given that when you go to the grocery store, when you look at the price of consumer items, it's not surprising to any of us that inflation is continuing. Now, the officially reported inflation rate, I want to talk about that just for a second. The consumer price index, that's not really the inflation reality that we all live with every day. The official inflation rate, like the official unemployment rate, has been massaged and, dare I say, manipulated to make the reported economic data appear more favorable. For example, the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, the headline inflation rate, uses substitution, uses weighting adjustments, and uses hedonic adjustments to adjust the official CPI number before it's released. Now, when we look at price inflation, there are a lot of signs that the average American is nearing the end of the proverbial rope. Now, let's look at credit card debt. Credit card debt is now at, once again, an all-time high. The levels of credit card debt that were reported initially for both January and February have now been revised upward. That's also a pretty frequent story. The data that is reported that seems favorable is later revised. Total credit card debt is now $1.34 trillion, and it's been steadily increasing over the past 3 years. And at the same time, the personal savings rate has declined. Now, I ran across a chart that illustrates this, and of course, charts are impossible to show on the radio, but if we go back just to mid-2021, if we go back less than 3 years, total credit card debt had not yet reached a trillion. It's now at $1.34 trillion, so it's easily one-third higher at a minimum. At the same time, if you look at the personal savings rate going all the way back to 2016, the personal savings rate is now at a low point. Now, just take those two statistics. What does that tell you about how inflation is impacting the average American? And let me give you some perspective when I say that total credit card debt is now at $1.34 trillion. Total credit card debt is now about equal to the annual outlay for Social Security. That's mind-boggling when you think about it. Total credit card debt currently on credit cards, unpaid credit card debt, is equal to the total annual outlay for Social Security. Doesn't that tell you that consumers may have hit the wall? What about the cost of food at a quick service restaurant? Maybe some of you saw the TikTok video that went viral this past week, and it featured a quick service restaurant patron lamenting the cost of a 40-piece chicken piece meal. I won't mention the name because you'll know what fast food chain I'm talking about. But this 40-piece chicken piece meal and two orders of fries with tax was $27. That didn't even include drinks. Recently, on the radio show, just in the past couple of weeks, I talked about the fact that the dollar store chain 99 Cents Only decided to close all of their locations. The CEO of 99 Cents Only said the best way they feel to maximize shareholder value is just to get out of business. And the CEO cited unenforced theft and inflation as two of the biggest reasons for the closure of all their stores. When you look at the cost of food at a quick serve restaurant, when you look at a store that arguably caters to more lower income customers, that's a couple signs that inflation is continuing to take a toll on average Americans. Now, I have had a lot of conversations lately with people who are absolutely shocked at how much their homeowner's insurance is going up. Across the country, according to the Daily Mail, homeowners' insurance rates are up about 20%. There was a story in the Daily Mail that profiled a retiree who lived in Rapid City, South Dakota, and he saw his annual premiums increase from $665 a year to $3,490 a year. And forecasters say that U.S. home insurance rates are going to hit a record high this year, the typical premium going up at least another 6%. So rising costs are all around us on literally everything that we need to buy. I should say almost everything. And many of you probably noticed the U.S. Postal Service, once again, the cost of a first-class postage stamp is going up. Now, the Postal Service has something called the Forever Stamp that arguably maybe isn't very well named. But this stamp is what you use to mail a first-class letter. When this was first introduced in 2007, this stamp was 41 cents. As of July 14, this stamp will cost 73 cents, up a nickel from the 68 cents that it currently costs. And oh, by the way, this will be the second increase this year. In January, the cost went up from 66 to 68 cents. And as an aside, despite these increases in the cost of postage, the U.S. Postal Service is expected to lose more than $6 billion in 2024. One of the most convincing arguments that you have when you look at inflation and the fact that inflation is still a big factor is the fact that Costco continues to offer gold to the company's customers, with sales of gold, according to some analysts, in the neighborhood of $200 million per month. So here we have Costco selling $200 million worth of gold in a month. Costco now limits gold purchases to 5 ounces per customer. So the Fed has obviously been speaking about getting inflation under control. But it seems obvious when you look at the facts here that the battle is not yet won. Now, I expect that inflation will continue to rise, and I expect to see the price of precious metals continue to rise as well, although Given the breakout we've seen in metals here of late, a near-term pullback in metals prices would not be surprising, but long-term, I believe that we're going to see metals prices continue to reflect inflation as well. Now, if you're just joining me, I'd like to offer you the free April report all about trusts and estate planning. Go to requestyourreport.com to request your copy of the report as well as the bonus information. That website again, requestyourreport.com. I'll be back after these words with my special guest, Mr. Kerry Lutz. Welcome back to RLA Radio. I am your host, Dennis Tubergen. Joining me once again on today's program is returning guest, Mr. Kerry Lutz. Many of you will recognize Kerry as the founder of the Financial Survival Network. I would encourage you to check out his podcast. He is a prolific broadcaster on all things economic and investing. The website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. There's also a free newsletter that you can subscribe to on that site. Again, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'd encourage you to do that as well. Kerry, welcome back to the program.
Hey, pleasure to be back with you, Dennis.
Well, Kerry, let's just jump right in. When you take a look at the March inflation report, it was a bit hotter than the policymakers maybe would have liked to see it. Where do you think the Fed goes from here?
You know, it's always, you always know that something bad is amiss when it says experts disappointed. Inflation rate exceeds experts' expectations. Who are these experts and how come they don't go to me? I'm an expert. I could have told them that inflation was going to come in hotter. It was inevitable. And yet these experts can't figure this out, Dennis.
So, Kerry, what do you think the Fed's policy is going to be moving ahead? I mean, if we look at the fact that this is an election year, that probably doesn't play into their policy, does it? We'll answer that maybe in just a second. But do you think they go ahead with the rate cuts in June?
Yeah, well, they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. But I've been reading for years how the Fed is always in a box, right? I mean, you've seen it yourself, right? Fed's in a box, right? And somehow they've managed to get out of that box over the years. But, you know, the situation has been deteriorating. And, you know, when we were kids back in the Reagan years, it's like people cared about deficits. Even during the Clinton years, they cared about deficits. Now, evidently, deficits don't matter anymore, right?
Well, and you know, it's amazing because, Kerry, I spoke at an event last night as we're recording this, and I asked the 60 people or so that were in the audience, how many of you think the U.S. government actually, you know, ends up paying even most of its debt? And nobody raised their hand. So it's almost like it's not real, and nobody really understands what the ultimate consequences of all this debt might be. What do you think the end game is here? Why should people be concerned about this?
Well, the end game is a default. But, you know, default comes in different flavors, Dennis, as you know. There's a default where company can't meet its obligations and closes its doors, goes bankrupt, right? Or they go bankrupt and, you know, they close their doors and then where they reorganize so they don't close their doors. But the U.S. prints its own money, so it's very simple for it to default by inflation. You know, inflation is really a partial default on the debt because you're paying back you're paying back the same number of dollars, but they're worth less, right? And effectively, you're paying back less than what you borrowed. And that's the definition of a default or a renegotiation at the very least, right?
Yeah, and you know, as you were talking, Kerry, and I think you maybe subscribe or identify more closely with the Austrian School of Economics, as do I. I was reminded of a quote that Ludwig von Mises had, and I'm going to butcher the quote here, but I'll paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. There's really no stopping the financial crisis that comes as a result of credit expansion. You either, one, stop and you have a deflationary depression, or two, you continue and you destroy a currency. Are those the two options that we really have here?
Hey, if there's another option, Dennis, I'd like to know what it is, you know?
Right.
I'm just not seeing any options here. And Ludwig von Mises, the great, often referred to as the father of the Austrian School of Economics, said, no other entity can take a perfectly valuable commodity and make it worthless by take a valuable commodity like paper and make it worthless by putting ink on it.
Yeah, sad but true, scary but true. So, well, you know, when you look at the economy and just look at some of the stats, you know, one of the things that's really been catching my eye of late is the fact that by many sources, we've got almost $1 trillion of commercial real estate loans that are going to have to be refinanced yet in 2024. Could that be the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back here?
Well, the problem is that the U.S. is just one of many camels, and the rest of the world is doing so much worse because we are the reserve currency that I don't know what it's going to take to break the back of the camel. It's coming. But the thing is, like, if you notice the last few days, Dennis, the dollar's gone up and gold has gone up, and gold has been on a tear. Now, it could just be geopolitical, worried about war with Iran, but I think there's something more profound going on here than that.
That's interesting. If we dig down into that, what do you see going on here? Do you think this has something to do with maybe a gold-backed currency on the horizon, or is it as simple as central banks now have been accumulating gold at an ever-increasing pace?
Well, maybe that's the ultimate insurance policy, but no central banker worth his salt ever wants to see a gold standard, a real gold standard, because that takes all the fun out of being a world controller here, right? You know, you basically, all the central bank becomes is a warehouse for the gold, and your money is a receipt, and you can change your receipt for gold or gold for a receipt. So, you know, the central banks don't want it, but it's looking, they'll adopt the gold standard eventually when they have no choice, right? When they have no choice, then they will be forced to do it. But until that moment comes, they're going to fight it like worse than Lucy and Ricky on I Love Lucy, you know?
If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting today with Mr. Kerry Lutz. He is the founder of the Financial Survival Network. The website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and Kerry has a newsletter that's available there as well that I would encourage you to subscribe to. So, Kerry, when you take a look at gold, as you said, it's been on a tear. Silver, right on its heels. What's Kerry Lutz's forecast as to where gold and silver may ultimately go from here?
Well, you know, much higher. Silver is the better play because gold is trading at or near its all-time high, but silver is still trading at 60% of its all-time high. So, you know, it's inevitably going much higher. Silver, you know, I foresee the day where it's triple digits and not that far off. And gold, maybe 5,000 or higher.
Wow. So, you know, the other market that really is a little bit puzzling, at least to me, I'd love your take on this. When you look at the S&P 500 since October, you look at the Dow since October, both up within a couple percentage points either side of about 25%. And yet, it's hard to find economic news to justify that kind of a rise in stocks. What do you think's behind that rise?
Well, we've got flight capital coming in from all over the world. Everybody's scared to death of their fiat currency. And you got this huge flight capital coming out of China. As they crack down, as their economy implodes, and Martin Armstrong, great, I call him the master forecaster. He has always said that the stock market would go higher. He was saying that at 18,000 Dow, and everyone said he was nuts. It hit 40, but it's going to go higher because where else do you put your money? You're a multinational bank or, brokerage house. The only place to put your money to protect it against inflation and lack of confidence in the government is into the market, right?
Yeah,
That's why we're seeing it.
interesting. So, when you look at U.S. Treasuries, the Fed's held pat, but just taking a look at the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury since really December, just a few months, we've seen a pretty dramatic increase. What's your take on that? Is that just a sign that the rest of the world is saying, "Wait a minute, United States, you're not the best credit risk. We want a little bit more interest to compensate us for this increased risk"?
Well, again, that's that box that we see ourselves in, and it's scary, no doubt. It looked like they said, "Oh yeah, six interest rate cuts," the experts were saying for this year, but now I'd be surprised to see one or two. But on the other hand, it is an election year, and election years, things happen that you never thought were possible, right?
Yeah, in fact, I would be very, very surprised if we don't get some type of an election year goodie bag or giveaway program. And given that the general population thinks, none of this debt, these debt issues are real, who knows? Who knows how that might affect the outcome of an election, if I can be cynical for a minute.
Hey, you can be cynical. We can all be cynical, Dennis. But no, seriously, it's like they got to do something. In fact, there was just a leak of a recording of a guy who'd written speeches for Powell, and Powell hates the former president, evidently. There's a shocker, isn't it? And he did everything he could the last election to see that the former occupant of the White House was defeated. And he's just going to do his best to do what he can, right? I find it fascinating myself. I really do, because it's a shocker what the things that happen here, right? Never ceases to believe, but I always thought the Fed was independent. Shows what I know, huh?
Well, I'm chatting today with Mr. Kerry Lutz. He is the founder of the Financial Survival Network. The website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'd encourage you to check it out and also subscribe to the newsletter. I'll continue my conversation with Kerry when RLA Radio returns. Stay with us. I'm Dennis Tubergen. You are listening to RLA Radio. I have the pleasure of chatting once again today with returning guest, Mr. Kerry Lutz. Kerry is the founder of the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you're not familiar with his work, go to the website and check it out. Kerry has lots of broadcasts every week, talks to a lot of very bright people, and he's also got a newsletter there I'd encourage you to check out. So again, the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. So, Kerry, we talked about inflation. Just to maybe pick up where we left off, would it be fair to say that it's your view that we are going to see inflation continue to accelerate?
Oh yeah, that's baked in the cake. Dennis, we're both old enough to remember the good old inflationary days of yesteryear, right? When during Gerry Ford, whip inflation now, during the end of Vietnam, these things go in cycles. They don't just happen one year and then they go away. This is not the way stuff works here. And that's what you always got to remember. So when they said transitory inflation, that was just a bunch of hogwash for sure.
Well,
There's no such thing.
Janet Yellen came out and said she regrets using that phrase. So she knew at the time that it was hogwash, and she has since apologized, though.
Yeah. So the key to make money in inflationary times, but it is dangerous, play the inflationary wave. As Will Rogers said, probably well over 100 years ago, invest in inflation. It's the only thing going up, right? And I've always taken that to heart. And when COVID happened, when they started the helicopter money, I immediately looked to buy a home as fast as I could. And I was able to do that. And, you know, now it's practically doubled in price. And not because I'm a genius here, but because I know history, you know, and I knew that there is no possible way that this thing is just going away. It is just impossible. And it was silly to think that it could, but this is going to be here decade, multi-decade. It doesn't just go away. But if it goes for less than a decade, it's because some disaster happened, like the dollar is no longer the reserve currency. And in which case the dollar gets devalued, asset prices continue to go higher. Look, who has made the money in, you know, since the great financial collapse of 08 and 09? It's been the wealthy because they own assets, right?
Exactly. So,
but the way that you turbocharge it is you leverage an asset that you can earn income from, like real estate. So what you do is, you know, you buy a bunch of houses or whatever and make sure it's in favorable rental markets. I wouldn't be doing it in the People's Republic of California. I wouldn't be doing it in the People's Republic or the once free, the once empire state known as New York. And but mind you, I'm not giving financial advice, just saying from my standpoint how this has worked. And then you let, if you can get an asset and somebody else pays the debt on it, you're going to see it appreciate as a result of inflation, and your cash flow is going to go up if it's that kind of asset, like a home where you can increase rents. And that's how you do it. It's really simple.
So Kerry, when you say invest in inflation, would it be a fair paraphrase of what you're saying, that you really want to invest in things that they can't print and generates cash flow?
Yeah. Yeah. And real estate's the easiest thing. Yeah. Look, there's no there's nothing without risk. And if we have some type of deflationary depression, well, then all bets are off. But if you can borrow 80% on a home, put down 20%, 25%, and then you can, even if you break even for the first few years, you're still got equity appreciation, right? You got equity, you got pay down of the mortgage, and then you've got appreciation of the values going up. And, you know, I know people that are worth 10, 20, $30 million who did this 20 years ago when I should have done it. And, you know, they're living high on the hog now, Dennis. And I'm happy for them. I mean, I'm unhappy I didn't do it for myself. But, you know, hey, opportunities come. There's always opportunities. That's the key. But here, this is, in my opinion, the best way to do it.
So, Kerry, let me play devil's advocate here, if I could. We have commercial real estate that obviously, at least in my view, you know, it's a disaster. It's going to decline significantly. Do you see residential real estate as holding up even as commercial real estate declines, or do you disagree with my position on commercial real estate?
A commercial real estate is eventually going to become the surprise performer. Okay. How do we say this? So what happens is commercial real estate, right now they can't figure out what to do with it in these cities. And I don't say like in New York City or LA or cities that are going down the tubes. I do believe, though, there is an attitudinal shift taking place here in these inner cities that's going to blow everybody's mind. But eventually, they're going to find a use for this stuff. I don't know what it is. Maybe housing immigrants. You take your pick. You know, like the Empire State Building could be converted to condos in a couple of years because it's built in such a way that those places would be desirable. Now, the place sways. I couldn't live there. I'd get vertigo. But you know what I'm saying, right? So I don't think you should be buying commercial real estate, you know, office buildings and things like that now, or shopping centers. But I think that it's going to be the surprise performer for those who can pick it up at 10 cents on the dollar now. And that's what it's going to go for, right? It's going to go for 10 cents on the dollar, Dennis.
In my view, absolutely. I agree with you completely. So you would say that, and if you're just joining us, let me remind you, we're talking today with Kerry Lutz. He is the founder of the Financial Survival Network. The website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and there is a newsletter I'd encourage you to check out there as well. So you see residential real estate and commercial real estate behaving quite differently then over the next several years.
Oh, yeah, well, I wish I was the only genius that saw this, but everything's changed in the workplace. You know, like my kids, they have hybrid work. They go to the office sometimes. Well, one daughter has, my son-in-law have totally remote, but my other kids who live in New York, they actually go to the office 2-3 times a week and work from home, which is great when you're raising a family. You know, I mean, that is like the best thing in the world. You think about it, you know, we were working our tails off and, you know, our kids, our wives would go to the kids' shows and all that. And you try to get to them, but you never got to them enough. Imagine if you were working now, you'd never miss one of your kids' shows ever, right? So, commercial real estate is dead in the water. And I don't see anything that's going to revive it. But there is a solution out there that you and I can't see yet, that people with more money and smarter than us are going to see. And they're going to do this, you know, and, which I think is cool because, you know, that's where an opportunity rests. So, but certainly residential real estate, everybody needs a place to a roof over their heads, right? Everybody needs that.
So, Kerry, if I were to ask you, residential real estate, rental real estate, gold, silver, or something else, what would be your favorite asset class moving ahead?
My favorite asset class moving ahead. Good question. I think you should have a position in precious metals for sure. No question. You need to have a core position in it, and it should probably be a little higher now than it was before, right? But if you can, you're ready to white knuckle it through, I like the leverage and the, the inflation hedge that real estate provides, you know? So I would say, you know, I'd be putting a position in metals, Bitcoin, I'd have a position there more as like a lottery ticket, and precious metals for me, I'm speaking only for myself here, silver and gold, a meaningful position there.
So Kerry, since you brought up crypto in the time we have left, let's go there if we could.
Sure.
Voltaire in the 1600s said that all currencies eventually return to their intrinsic value. How do you square that up with the fact that Bitcoin, Ethereum, and, you know, other cryptos are really just digital units of privately issued currency?
Well, go back to Milton Friedman and the libertarian's dream, really Mises, everybody. It's always been to have competing currencies, right? So Bitcoin isn't a currency now because it's not really a medium of exchange, but that could change quickly. And so when you look at that, they can't issue any more than 21 million Bitcoins, all right? And now that, and the amount they could keep mining goes down, halves every few years. We're about to have one of those events now. And so you've got what Milton Friedman wanted, like the currency board, where they'd only allow the currency to increase by the population growth per year. So population goes up 2%, that's how much more currency you have. Problem is, the government is the one that does this stuff, and you can't trust the government to actually do what it's supposed to do. But, you know, the theory of competing currencies and a limitation on the amount of currency that can be issued really is a plus, because that guarantees no inflation, right? So I see it as really the possibility of actually fulfilling that that long sought after goal, right? So, but intrinsically it's worth nothing. But why is gold worth something? Because people want it, because there's demand. I mean, if we decided tomorrow as a collective, the entire planet, that we're gonna use copper instead of gold, and copper will do its same function, or seashells, then that's what it comes down to, right? It's all demand. So the demand is there, and right now the demand, you know, it's really questionable how long this can last. Will it go? But all I know is I found out about this stuff when it was $7, and now it's 70,000. So I've been wrong the entire way. Now, I've bought it. I've dabbled in it over the years, made a couple bucks here and there, and it's been okay. But, you know, let's face it, I haven't made the big money on it because I didn't see it. But now I see it.
Well, my guest today has been Mr. Kerry Lutz. He is the founder of the Financial Survival Network. The website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'd encourage you to visit the site and subscribe to his newsletter as well. Kerry, thanks for joining us today. Love to have you back down the road.
Hey, my pleasure, Dennis. You're always welcome on my show as well. Always enjoy our conversations here.
As do I. We will return after these words. Welcome back. You're listening to RLA Radio. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. And thanks again to my special guest, Mr. Kerry Lutz, for joining me on today's program. If you have not yet requested the April special report, it's all about estate planning and avoiding probate. I'd love to send you a copy of the report. All you need to do is visit requestyourreport.com. Let me know where to mail that, as well as some bonus information, and I'll be very glad to do so. You know, if you're listening to RLA Radio, there's a very good chance that you aspire to retire comfortably at some point. And if you aspire to retiring comfortably, I want to give you a perspective in this segment that you maybe haven't had up to this point. I read a piece written by a past guest here on the RLA Radio program, Mr. Egon von Greyerz. Many of you longtime listeners will recognize Egon as the president and founder of Gold Switzerland. And Egon talked about the fact that gold and silver's prices have recently gone up significantly. And he said that he believes that, you know, fundamentals could get gold to $3,000 plus and silver to $50 plus very soon. Now, in the next sentence, von Greyerz said that forecasting is a mug's game, particularly in the short term. But in the medium to long term, he suggests that forecasting the price of gold is a cinch. Well, you might say that sounds pretty arrogant. How can he be so certain? Well, Voltaire, whom I have quoted here, is quoted also in von Greyerz's article. And in 1729, here is what Voltaire said, quote, "Paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, zero," end quote. All fiat currencies, historically speaking, without fail, have eventually, at some point gone to zero. So when you think about the fact that gold may be increasing in value, it's really not. In fact, if you look at the dollar index as gold has gone up, the dollar index has actually strengthened. Well, that doesn't mean the dollar is getting stronger. It's not. It just means the dollar is stronger relative to other fiat currencies. And gold really doesn't increase in value. This is von Greyerd's point. Gold just maintains stable purchasing power. And he uses a pretty interesting example. He said that a Roman toga 2,000 years ago cost 1 ounce of gold. And if you go buy a tailored suit today, you're going to spend the same 1 ounce of gold. So von Greyerd says it's really totally wrong to talk about gold going up when it's the unit of measure that we measure gold in that goes down, just as all fiat money has done. So if you look at gold measured in U.S. dollars and go back to 1971, when the dollar was actually made a fiat currency, and some of you have been longtime listeners, maybe remember what Richard Nixon told us on August 15, 1971. He told us, your dollar will be worth just as much tomorrow as today if you're among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American products made in America. Well, that certainly has turned out not to be the case. In 1971, 1 ounce of gold cost $35. Today, an ounce of gold is more than $2,300. So the question is this, has gold increased in value 66-fold since 1971? Is an ounce of gold worth 66 times more today than it was in 1971? And of course, the obvious answer is, of course not. The dollar has declined in value, and the dollar has lost purchasing power to that extent since 1971. By von Greyerd's measure, the dollar has lost 98.5% of its purchasing power. So when you ask, where is gold going to be price-wise in a year, in 5 years, that's the wrong question. The right question is, how much will the dollar and other fiat currencies decline in real terms in the next few years? Gold and silver have not increased in line with the money supply and or inflation, which, according to von Greyerd's, and I would agree, makes them very undervalued. In fact, if you adjust the price of gold from 1980 by the consumer price index, which, as we talked about in the first segment, is a massage number, we would be at $3,600 gold, according to von Greyerd's calculation. I bring this up simply because if you're aspiring to a comfortable retirement, does it make sense to do some currency diversification in your portfolio? And I think the answer is you should certainly be looking at that. If you go to requestyourreport.com, I'll not only send you the estate planning report, I'll send you a couple books that may help you to that end. I'll send you the revenue sourcing book as well as the new retirement rules book. So again, go to requestyourreport.com. I'll be glad to send you all that stuff absolutely free. That's all the time I have for this week. I'll be back again next week. Have a great week.